Rancho. Okay, I'm just trying to clarify now. Now, when Water Power Authority created the bid, just trying to understand your testimony, was the intent that the bidder submit prices per location or just submit one overall bid?
Per plant location.
Per plant location. Thank you. Does anybody have any redirect? No?
Yes.
What? No.
Oh, I'm sorry, redirect.
I'm getting to you. I'm getting to you. Okay, I'm chopping it to bit again. Is there any recross?
Just one question.
You may proceed.
Did you notice a difference between the mobile and the IP&E price for Tenjo?
Yes.
And what was, it was a lot. The difference was approximately 11 cents, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And it was a lot bigger than the difference on the remaining plants, isn't that correct?
You can say that, yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I just had one final question for you. Sorry. At any time, did you think that IP&E's prices were erroneous?
I don't want to. I don't think so.
Okay. I mean, when you looked at it, you saw no obvious error in their pricing. Is that correct?
There's an error in their pricing? No, I didn't think so.
Didn't think so. All right. Thank you. Redirect for any recross. Go ahead.
Okay. What were your impressions? The price difference at Tenjo was a lot higher than the price difference on the other plants. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
That's your strategy. So I don't want to speculate on how you did your pricing.
But wouldn't it be consistent with a strategy to provide the overall lowest bid?
I don't know.
That's all the witnesses for GPA.
So does the purchasing agency rest?
The purchasing agency rests.
And Mr. Johnson, is now your case in chief. Do you have any witnesses?
After consideration, we're just not going to call the one witness we intended to. We don't feel there's any need to drag this up.
Does the interested party mobile rest?
We rest.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break before closing statements. Okay. We're going to take a 5-minute recess. Then when we come back, we're going to do closing arguments. Of course, the order of march will be the appellant. Followed by the purchasing agency, followed by the interested party, and of course, because this is IP&E's appeal, they certainly won't have the opportunity for rebuttal, so they can have the last word on their appeal. Okay? And we're off the record at 10:59. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Thank you. We're back on the record at 11:05 a.m. And we're going to hear the, as all parties have now rested, we're going to hear the closing arguments of the parties. And, of course, we're going to start with IP&E. Mr. Carr, you have the floor.
Right. Thank you, Hearing Officer Camacho and Auditor Brooks. Hindsight is often 20/20. And one thing that we saw heard from the testimony today is that it doesn't appear that GPA ever intended to award on an overall basis. In the past, each procurement was done on a plant-by-plant basis. For whatever reason, they changed that process now to add an overall basis, but they still never intended to do that either. I mean, we saw from the evaluation that the evaluation was only conducted on a per plant basis. There was never any evaluation of the overall procurement until we raised that protest, and we feel then, as we feel now, that GPA got it wrong. That language requesting for the overall price is controlling, and that IP&E submitted the overall price. Now, cherry-picking the price, while true, it does yield any lowest overall price, but I think we heard from the testimony today that IP&E bid the same price, which was a weighted average, over the overall plant basis. You heard Mr. Florencio testify that, you know, it was a strategy. Well, you also heard Mr. Keller testify that they only bid that price because it was a weighted average. And the price for that plant, and it's very important that the delta on the Tengil plant far exceeds the delta on any of the other plants. What does that tell the OPA? It says that IP&E bid a much lower price on Tengil, which is the highest volume plant, because it was looking at the overall contract price, which OPA never even considered. And sure, they get the lowest overall price, but they did so as a result of a tainted procurement, because they didn't follow the procedures. There was no use for that language in the procurement. They changed it from the last one, and now they're trying to hide behind it and say, no, we wanted per plant. IP&E followed the rules. There wasn't any questions. It was crystal clear in IP&E's mind, as demonstrated not only by the testimony, but in the bid prices, which was done well in advance of this testimony, that shows what IP&E's intent was, and it never wavered that this was an overall contract that should be evaluated. Why else would GPA change that language if it always intended to do the per plant basis, which it had for all we know, time in memoriam? Now, allowing it to proceed does get GPA a lower price, but at whose expense? It wasn't a strategic decision to lower that price. The price was lowered because it was done as an overall procurement package. And Mr. Keller testified that the price would be at least 7 cents higher had it been done on a per plant basis. You know, GPA caused the issue. They should not be allowed to benefit by it. We believe in this case the remedy is that GPA should be held to making an overall award, or in the alternative that it be treated as an error and allow for further negotiations on the Tengil plant. Thank you very much.
Mr. Belza, your closing statement.
Thank you. In terms of looking at this, it is interesting. Obviously, IPA admits that the overall lowest price is to do by plant location. But of course, they say, well, we would have done something different. Well, of course, any bidder could have said that. Mobil could say, well, I would have done something differently too, okay? They knew what the process was. The last bid is quite simple. They can't discuss whether it was per plan or however they put it then, because simply there was only one bidder. So it wouldn't matter what strategic decision they made at the time to make it per plan or overall or whatever. If they had questions, they had more than ample opportunity. Mr. Keller himself was there at the pre-bid conference. He participated in each of the amendments, 1 through 8. He had the opportunity to clarify. He chose not to do so. That was their strategy. They made it. They need to live with their strategy. Yes, I agree the language is controlling, per plant or overall. Clearly, GPA gave the award as they should have, per plant. There is no tainted procedure here. GPA gave each bidder, in this case Mobil and IP&E, an opportunity to ask questions. Both of the bidders did ask questions. They asked about the technical specs. They reviewed the entire contract. Mr. Keller has been around for, as he testified, 25, 30 years in the fuel business, and he's very experienced at this. If he had questions or had alternative ways of doing it, he could have asked us. The remedy he asked for is the overall award. Well, that's not called for in the language here, and certainly GPA would object to that. The other remedy he asked for is to consider this an error. There was no error made by IP&E. They submitted their bid. they wanted to submit a different price, they could have. They chose not to, okay? And quite frankly, Mr. Hearing Officer and Auditor Brooks, I don't believe that there's any provision in the procurement code that would allow for further negotiation. This is a bid. Once the bid is submitted, once the price is submitted, there's no change to it after the fact. You're not allowed to change your bid after the fact. And that particular remedy that's sought by IP&E as I guess an alternative remedy would allow that. I simply can't, I'm not aware of anything in procurement code that would allow for that on a bid. This is not an RFP where you get to negotiate price. But GPA's position is quite simple. I mean, we've laid out the issues. Did they properly select the lowest responsive bidder with regard to the sections? Did we properly follow the sections in there, section 2.3, that the contract can be awarded in whole or in part? And were we allowed to award to multiple bidders? I submit the answer to each one is yes. GPA properly made the award. There's no question, there's been no challenge by any bidder here whether the technical qualifications for both bidders were complied with clearly. In phase one of the evaluation, that was done properly. There's been no challenge to that. The only question that's asked to be interpreted now is whether GPA could or should have awarded per plant or in whole. We submit that we could have. We submit that the contract or the bid taken in whole shows that that was the appropriate response to be made by GPA. And we submit that not only did GPA have the duty and responsibility to cherry pick, if you will, that's what per plant location allows for, that we did so properly, and it results in the lowest award for GPA and its ratepayers at a difference of $76,400 a year or $229,200 over a three-year contract award. We ask that the OPA and hearing officer uphold that proposed award and allow that award to go forward. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, closing arguments?
Thank you. I suppose the place I'd like to start would be looking at the difference between the language that was pointed out by IP&E today between the 2009 invitation for bid and the current invitation for bid. IP&E pointed out that the language there said the lowest and most responsive bidder for each site or in parentheses item. The current bid, it says per plant location. Now, despite the differing language between these two invitations for a bid, it seems that IP&E still had the same strategy for both bids. Bearing in mind that in the last bid, even though Mobile didn't submit, in the last invitation for bid, Mobile did not submit a bid, IP&E did not know that when it started preparing its bid. And during the last bid, if we look to Exhibit B on page 69, Shell did the same thing that it did here. Aside from what appears to be a tenth of a cent difference, not for the Tangil Vista plant, but for the Menangan and Telefofo plants, they bid the same number throughout. So if they're claiming that before it was clearer that it was going to be awarded per plant location, they still used the same strategy previously that they used in this bid. The GPA decided to award per plant location, even though the language was slightly different. So really, this comes to a question of IP&E's strategy here. It's not a question of the bid of the language in the contract, I'm going to go into looking at the language of the contract itself. On the very same page, page 887 of the record, where IP&E refers to the one portion in the invitation for bid where it mentions overall price, there's also section 5.1, which goes over definitions. And the language in the definition section states that the term said wherever used in these general conditions or in the other contract documents, the term used have the meanings indicated which are applicable to both the singular and plural thereof. Now, if we were to look at 4.2, which is the section that IP&E is focused on, and we look at the term bidder, which is set apart as a specific term unique to this contract, and consider that in terms of the singular or the plural, one would see that what it's talking about is the overall contract price. The GPA will award the contract to the bidders whose proposal yields the lowest overall contract price. It doesn't say the bidder that submits the lowest overall bid. It's the lowest overall contract price. And here, the lowest overall contract price is not the bid submitted by IP&E or the bid submitted by Mobil. The overall contract, which is the contract which would be awarded by GPA, is the one that awards it per plant location. The one that, you know, using the term used by Mr. Kelly, cherry picks the plants. That is the lowest overall contract price that can be elicited from this bid. Or sorry, this invitation for bid. Now, with respect to 2.13, that term contains the phrase in whole or per plant location. In order to interpret the contract the way IP&E would have it interpreted, you would need to completely disregard that language. The way GPA has interpreted it, 4.2 still makes sense, given 5.1. But given the way IP&E has interpreted this invitation for bid, one would need to completely disregard the in whole or per plant location language. Just a couple more points to make. The next is in terms of the precedent. In the past, this has been awarded per plant location. And it's not like IP&E is coming into this just now. Mr. Keller testified that he's been doing this for 20 years. And he testified that in his 20 years, it has been awarded per plant location and has been split up between several companies in the past. Mr. Rages testified that as well, And so it's clear. And sorry, Mr. Ferencio testified to that as well. This is, aside from the 2009 invitation for bid, it has been awarded per plant location. And the last time it was only because Mobil submitted its bid late and was turned away. So coming to the end of it, I mean, coming back to what we talked about in the opening, the overall purpose of the procurement code is to award, is to maximize, to the fullest extent practicable the purchasing value of public funds to the territory. And while IP&E would submit that their bid is $146,000 less, then their overall bid would be $146,000 less than Mobil's overall bid, the fact of the matter is the GPA's award is the lowest overall by $76,000. Now Mobil's nuts, the Mobil admits this, the award by GPA wouldn't have been the best result for Mobil, and it wouldn't have been the best result for IP&E, but it was the best result for GPA and its ratepayers, and that's what matters. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to just argue that I don't think the lowest overall price necessarily means what's in the best interest of the government. Having a transparent and efficient procurement process is equally as important, given that the price difference in this procurement, it's really negligible. It's less than 0.5%. One thing is clear, and I think it's clear in the record, that, and I pointed it to my opening, is that there was a really big difference in that price. And, you know, I think it's pretty clear, I think it's absolutely clear that that difference was based on a weighted average that Shell had done, because with the anticipation that an overall award would be made, and frankly, there was no consideration whether there was an overall award. The source selection document, or whatever you want to call it, was clear that they just evaluated it on a per-plant basis. Why they changed the process, I have no idea. But one thing is clear, they got it wrong. And if they couldn't distinguish between bidder and bidders on a multi-million dollar procurement, they shouldn't be allowed to, you know, hide behind saying, oh, because it's the overall lowest price, you have to ignore this mistake and make award. The price difference is negligible. I mean, it was a tough procurement, you know, and it's hard fought, and it's the way procurement should be. And like I said, I don't think this is a IP&E requesting a second bite at the apple. It should it lose this procurement, it's, you know, as a result of relying on their document that said they wanted to make an overall bid, which IP&E did. And now, you know, it finds itself, well, that it wasn't even evaluated on an overall basis. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, certainly that's not going to happen again, but, you know, they IP&E relied on the documents when it was clear that it was You heard all the testimony. It was a per plant basis, as it was in the past. Like I said, why it changed, I don't know. But Shell shouldn't be the IP&E shouldn't be the party to bear the burden of that change. And overall, when you look at the plants, we're, IP&E is lower than lower by $146,000 on the Tenjo plant. It's $200,000 less than Mobil, and you know, and that was attributable to them saying they wanted to make an overall award, which they didn't do. So, with that said, I think the evidence is presented. I think hopefully it's clear to the OPA as it was to us that award should be made on an overall basis. Thank you very much.
Okay. We're going to take this matter under advisement the October 7th, 2014 scheduling order. Essentially, we are going to the parties have 2 days to submit. May submit a your briefs concerning what remedy you feel is appropriate in this case, and the parties will have until Thursday, October 30th, 5 o'clock to file those briefs on the remedies. You don't have to, but you may file those briefs at that that time. Okay. Any other issues? Are there any other issues by the parties that we need to? Essentially take up at this time?
No, but I guess the request from GPA would be that to the extent I recognize that the OPA has 30 days to issue a decision, but to the extent that I think the testimony was clear that the current contract is expiring, we just obviously request that that be as expedited as possible. I mean, otherwise GPA will be forced to continue on a month-by-month basis.
Can you come back to us to verify the exact date of the expiration?
Certainly can.
Yeah, it was only an estimate where he said it.
He only said an estimate. But if you could...
I'm sorry, Mr. Fletcher.
November 30th. Okay. So we're well within the 30-day period for the opinion now. Okay.
All right. And we'll be happy to extend it.
I'm sure that they will.
They said it in a No, I mean, they have requested an extension, so.
Okay.
We're not going to be without fuel.
Okay. Yeah. That's our concern.
Okay. In any event, we'll take the matter under advisement, issue the opinion in writing. These proceedings are hereby concluded. We are off the record at 11:25. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all.